Over the course of the summer, we've had a chance to skip across the big, wide pond of the Psalms. This song book of Scripture has been instructive in helping us articulate truth from the emotions and the feelings that we all feel in our everyday experience. The Psalms give us recognizable language. The Psalms give us license or permission to actually feel, to be truly human, as Al had been praying. The Psalms acknowledge the stuff that we all feel, but sometimes we are too shy or too reserved, as was pointed out by Clarence. Sometimes we're too shy to express those feelings. The truth of the matter is that the Psalms validate our emotions, our highs and our lows, all within the context of God's revelation. And so it is a joy to reflect upon Psalm 84 with you today as we wrap up our summer series in the Psalm. And we've been singing Psalm 84, "How lovely is our dwelling place." And that really captured the song. And then, of course, Matt and Beth Redman's song as well. Better it is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And feedback has been so strong about the sharing in the mornings, such as how you shared, Chris, that we're going to continue this on every third Sunday of the month, providing there are people who are willing to share. But thank you so much, all of you who have shared some of your life stories and folded them within the scriptures of the Psalms. Thank you so much. It was really great to be off for a little bit more than a week to recreate with my family and to invest some time in reconnecting with Charlene's side of the family. Our journey took us all the way down the Crow's Nest Highway, which is Highway number 3. And it's a gorgeous stretch of road filled with rolling hills, and some would characterize the journey as dry and harsh. Yet others would fondly call the road rugged and golden. It's quite a different kind of beauty. The drive gave me much occasion to think of and pray for many of you. I thought of our denomination's Pines Camp in Grand Forks, just because Peter Unger gives so much of his time and energy there. But prior to driving through what was the midpoint of our journey to Kootenai Lake, our drive actually began at the Hope-Princeton Highway, built by none other than a resourceful and tireless crew that included Peter Unger and our late brother, Jake Enns. And so I prayed for you too, Anne, if you're going to be listening to this later on the internet. Of course, our hairpin-filled drive included driving through Kermias, where the Shannon family enjoys much time with John's parents. And so we prayed for you, Shannon family, as we drove through the town. It's also a great place to pick up fresh fruit from the Okanagan if you haven't been there before. Closer to our destination, we drove through quaint little town of Castlegar, where Ken Cormier, one of our pianists, he comes from, and his mom still resides there. And so, Cormiers, know that you were also prayed for. We then drove through the town of Nelson and into the breathtaking beauty of Kootenai Lake. Our pilgrimage up into the Kootenais culminated in the longest free ferry ride in North America. I don't know if you're aware of that. From the village of Balfour to the hamlet of Crawford Bay. By the way, Crawford Bay is known for its craftsmen of brooms, who provide the brooms for the Harry Potter movies. So that was quite interesting to see. One of the interesting things is that as we pulled up to the campsite after 8 hours of driving from Manning Park, okay, the rest of Charlene's family also pulled up, but they're coming from the east, in from Alberta. And so we didn't time this, but we wound up pulling in right at the same time, and it was quite serendipitous. Our pilgrimage culminated in a week of revitalized relationships. There was lots of fishing, not one bite, by the way. We fished every single day. And even Dad, a very experienced fisherman, cast his rod a number of times, not even a nibble. And so we knew there were fish down there because as we went snorkeling, and this is Kootenai Lake, it's a big, wide lake, and it was warm as the Caribbean, I could say, because when we went swimming, as you came out of the water, you know how the breeze comes in and just cools you right down? Well, we didn't feel cool. We felt like we were in the Caribbean. Well, about 100 feet out, the water is only about 4 to 5 feet deep. And suddenly it drops off and it goes down about 200 feet. And so it's a pretty deep, profound lake. And as we went swimming and snorkeling with the kids, we'd go down about 10, 15, maybe even 20 feet. And we would see schools of 20, 30, 40, 50 fish about this big, just swimming, saying, "We don't want what you got." They sure looked like a whole nother world. It was beautiful. Of course, they were all suckers and bottom-dwelling fish, but they were gorgeous to see these silver fish in schools of 20, 30, 40, 50. It was incredible. Apparently, there's supposed to be rainbow trout there. Didn't get a bite of those. We had perch, and they're about this big. My brother-in-law, after we left, found out how to catch them, and he said they were good eating, but we didn't get any. So, we're going to go and return someday and get some good fish from there. Well, we had a chance to revitalize relationships. We enjoyed kayaking. And by the way, I tried to do the roll, and I wound up getting stuck upside down in the seaweed or milfoil and just couldn't get out. So we tried a number of times. I think I got bruises to show for it, but we tried. We went swimming. We went snorkeling. There were campfire stories. There was campfire singing that happened. And we were just reveling in God's, what we called God's dwelling space, his beautiful creation. Permit me to share with you the reading of Psalm 84 from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. Feel free to follow along in your Bible if you'd like to, or on the screen above, or just close your eyes and listen to the words of the psalmist from Psalm 84 as he gives praise to the God of the pilgrimage. Psalm 84. What a beautiful home, God of the angel armies. I've always longed to live in a place like this. Always dreamed of a room in your house where I could sing for joy to God alive. Birds find nooks and crannies in your house. Sparrows and swallows make nests there. They lay their eggs and raise their young, singing their songs in the place where we worship. God of the angel armies, King, God, how blessed they are to live and sing there. And how blessed all those in whom you live, whose lives become roads you travel. They wind through lonesome valleys, come upon brooks, discover cool springs and pools brimming with rain. God traveled. These roads curve up the mountain and at last turn. There's Zion. God in full view. God of the angel armies, listen. O God of Jacob, open your ears. I'm praying. Look at our shields glistening in the sun, our faces shining with your gracious anointing. One day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the palace of sin. All sunshine and sovereign is God. Generous in gifts and glory, he doesn't scrimp with his traveling companions. It's smooth sailing all the way with God of the angel armies. This is the word of the Lord. Historically, Psalm 84 is a favorite hymn among the songs of Zion. Even before Matt and Beth Redman made a top 10 hit, Better Is One Place in Your House. Before that was played on the radio many years ago, it was a song. Psalm 84 was a song beloved by pilgrims making their way up the long and dusty road to the temple in Jerusalem thousands of years ago. Psalm 84 is a part of a series of psalms, Psalm 82, 84 and 85, 87 and 88, from the Levitical clan of the Korahites. These Korah psalms delight in the praise of God as the king who sits enthroned in Jerusalem, and their psalms express joy in the service of the temple because they were Levitical priests. And they were just wanting to say how lovely it is in your dwelling place. How lovely it is for us to serve you, O God of Jacob. In other words, these psalms are written to express the joy of serving God. Now, the psalm is written in three parts with three main themes, and we're going to go over them very, very briefly. You can see on the screen there, part one's longing for God's house, part two, the pilgrimage of Zion, and part three, the meditation on blessings of trust in the Lord. At the center of the psalm, in fact, sandwiched in between all those, is the divine name of O Lord of hosts. Eugene Peterson correctly translates this as God of the angel armies. It has this connotation of a general, a mighty God, general, commander, someone who's in control, someone who's powerful, someone with just but a word can command vast armies and powers. The big unifying idea of the psalm is that only with this Lord, only with this God of the angel armies, can we find protection and security and satisfaction and good fortune. In other words, life in the fullest is only found in this Lord. Number one, longing for God's house. Just a brief thought and reflection on this. For this psalm's setting, imagine the end of a long, hot summer, not so different from what we've just experienced here. The families of Israel are leaving their scattered villages, and they're making their way to the hills of Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. You can read about that in Zechariah. Keep in mind that these folk are farmers, okay? So they come to the sanctuary to pray for rain upon their parched, dry land. And for the blessing on the king and his people as the cycle of the agricultural year begins all over again. Oh God, please rain upon this dry land. It's thirsty. We need to have crops. We're becoming hungry. The food stores are getting low. I was thinking about how much joy and anticipation that came with driving uphill all the way into the Kootenays. And then the anticipation that came with arriving at our destination. What were we going to do? People that we're going to have meet and converse with and reconnect with and play games with and go fishing with. Being in what some of us might call God's country, away from the traffic and the email, the phones, the honking of the horns, the sirens. It felt like God's country. It was quiet. There was this deep longing for connection with God. I think that's what the psalmist is getting at, verses 1 to 4. Let's move to part 2, pilgrimage to Zion. Now, the transformational power of Jerusalem is evident as the religious pilgrimage is recounted in verses 5 to 7, if you go with me there. The journey is important. It's not just about the destination, folks. It's about the actual ongoing journey, being with the maker of all things. This is now where the NIV has it right. In the NIV, it mentions the name Baca. Baca may allude to some arid valley leading to Jerusalem and the miraculous transformation brought by autumn rains on a parched land. Some say Baca is similar in sound to the Hebrew verb to weep or to cry, implying that those whose strength is the Lord will find that the place of sorrow can actually become a place of, with God's help, a place of encouragement and great energy and vitality. One of the main themes of this psalm is pilgrimage. Hence, its use by ancient pilgrims making their way up the Temple Mount, they'd sing it. It'd be a song that they'd sing the same way that we'd turn on the radio and listen to our favorite opus by Mozart, or by listening to country music, which Charlene loves, and I disdain. But she doesn't really like my U2, so it's all right. I crank it. You know, all life is a journey. All life is a journey. Like the road we traveled to Crawford Bay in the Kootenays, life is filled with valleys and peaks, forks in the road, fellow travelers, discouragement, and anticipation. Life is a journey. While God comes to meet people, we, the faithful, also seek him out. Every visit to a meeting of believers is, in a profound sense, the way we're meeting this morning, is a pilgrimage of sorts. Singing aloud our prayers and our songs of worship are part of the pilgrimage of faith. It's a journey. We as Christ's followers can take courage in the image of Jesus as God's true temple. And this is our destination. It's Jesus. It's him. God incarnate, God in flesh. The three in one which we can actually see is Jesus. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, and may we be one." Mark had mentioned to me earlier this morning that there is a Billy Graham crusade coming, and Franklin Graham's coming. Some of us don't appreciate Franklin Graham. I would be one of them. But some of us do, and appreciate the message that he has to bring, and I will respect that. He has a gospel to preach, and I definitely do appreciate the fact that he's sharing the word. The word needs to get out. I don't appreciate some of his comments regarding minorities and people on the fringe. But again, we need to be one, as Jesus said. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one in me." Friends, we need to be unified. No greater time than this. The enemy is working to split us up. I agree with you, Monica. And we need to be one, one body, as it says in Ephesians. Part 3, meditation on blessings of trust in the Lord. A day in your courts. Better is one day in your courts. I love those words. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Very vivid imagery is being used here to communicate that basically the psalmist is saying, I'd rather just be on the fringes of your domain, O God, God of the heavenly angelic armies, than at the heart of another. Verse 11 talks about true contentment being rooted in the psalmist's experience of the Lord as giver or provider and sustainer of all life. He gives a picture of a son. And then as a protector from danger, he talks about the imagery of a shield. Think about how hot that sun was this past summer and how it sustained. My garden just exploded. My neighbor, his lawn is dying, and so I was, probably because our kids are trampling on it all the time, and so I said, okay, you know what, Harry, I'm going to reseed your lawn. And as we left for the 1 week of vacation, and then half a week service trip with the Gleaners with the youth in Abbotsford, we weren't at home for about 10 days, and we hired the little neighbors to water our garden and the grass seed that I had just planted. I said, okay, guys, $20. The job is yours, $20, and you can split that. And I'll double it if nothing dies. And their eyes suddenly grew. Right? They're like, okay, you're on. $20? Okay. And so they went and watered faithfully every day. Harry came out and said, yeah, you know, they were watering my house. You know, they were so faithfully watering. You know, just tell them, you know, great, give them your money, stop watering my house. When I came back, they had turf that looked better than my lawn. I'm like, guys, why didn't you water my lawn? Not just the grass seed. Come on. They were doing a great job. The sustainer of life, the sun, is what was responsible for that, the heat to bring the life. And just the same way as God gives sustenance to the nature around us, he gives sustenance to us. We need more, much more than bread alone, don't we? We need the warmth of the sun. As we made camp, we were warned that there was a young black bear about in the Kootenays. He's only 3 years old, probably only about 350 pounds only. He was in the immediate area, and so we exercised appropriate caution and awareness, and we told the kids, hey, you know what, guys? No food, no drink into the tents, because they love the smell, and they just come right in. So don't bring any food. And we had Shiori, our Japanese student, with us, and this is her first time camping. We said, Shiori, you cannot bring any kinds of food or drink into the sleeping area. because that would be endangering us all. She, okay, great. We made sure that the cooking area was devoid of scraps after each meal. Keep in mind that we were preparing food for over 30 people, because it was my family, which was not small, and each of Charlene's siblings had families, which were not small, mom and dad, and then a couple uncles and aunts came with their grandkids. We never had an incident. We cleaned up and did see the bear, except for Charlene's sister. She did come pretty close to the bear, who was just behind her campsite, a few feet away, just taking it all in. So as we enjoyed our time together, as a family, we laughed and we ate. We sang and we played games and we told stories. We also prayed together, sang praises together around the campfire with the guitar, and we celebrated as a larger family how God has provided for us and cared for us, for our loved ones and for our relationships, for our health. Not all of us are in good health. And for his handiwork in the stars and the hills, even for the bear. The psalm closes with an invitation for all to make the Lord their refuge. Happy are those who trust in God of the angel armies, the heavenly hosts. So, brothers and sisters, as we continue our journey in life together, may we be one in word as the Lord God, as Jesus has asked. May be one in word, in spirit and truth, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward to lead us in our last song as we close in prayer. God, thank you so much for being that wonderful commander in chief, and yet you call us your child, your children, and we can call you Abba, Daddy. You are so great, and yet you care for every single hair on our head. You know when we get up and when we go down. You know the days that are described in your book of life. You know our comings and goings. And you don't do that in a weird, crazy, stalking way, but in a way that just is filled with love and compassion and graciousness and care. And so as Chris shared with us this morning, as we remember you, this great commander, this God of the heavenly angel armies, let's also remember this one who gives us a crown with love and mercy and forgiveness. And he wants us to share that with others. He wants us to say, hi, I am Dave, and I'm loved by God. Lord, give us the unction, give us the energy, the desire, the fortitude, the courage to share that love that we've experienced from you with others. Help us not to keep it under a rock or under a bushel. Help us to share that love, that light with all that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.